Thanks for having us here in Terre Haute, a beautiful day in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Again, appreciate taking the time to talk to us about what's going on. I just wanted to start, I mean, I hate to start with this, but just the reaction to the passing of Eva Kaur. I mean, that really had to come as a shock to you this past week.
It did. You know, I know she's had a lot of health issues over the years, but she was a very resilient person, as we know from her entire life. And it was kind of a shock. I knew she was on the trip. I'd heard about that. And, you know, just thought, I never thought something like that would happen while she was gone, of course. And it was a shock. When I first got the first text about that, it was like, oh, wow, I hate to hear that, you know, really sad. But then you think of the irony, you know, of her being out there and doing what she loved to do, lead tours and show people and tell that story. I mean, she was doing exactly what she loved to do. In her last, you know, just at the end of her remarkable life, let's put it that way.
So, you know, in retrospect, tell us kind of what she means to Terre Haute and the impact that she had here.
You know, she's got such a global impact. We were just fortunate to have her be a member of our community and have the museum here. But, you know, when I first got involved, I've known her for a very long time, even before I really understood all that, you know, her history. And so I'd been familiar with the family and knew her, but just wasn't engaged in that process. Well, she asked me to serve on the board when the building got burned down and we rebuilt. And so I was able to help get that building rebuilt and served on the board for several years. And then after I became mayor, she asked me to go on a trip to Poland and visit Auschwitz and be able to hear that same thing that these people had heard that went on this trip. And just her experiences. And boy, the more you would hear and the more you would read and hear from other people about her, it's like, wow, she has had such an impact. And it's really about the message of forgiveness. I mean, a lot of people went through the Holocaust and had horrible stories, but they've kept it to themselves. And you know, and as she would say, and she was the same way, just bitter about things and just hated people because of that. And yet she saw through that and said, you know what, life's too short. I survived it. I need to have this message of forgiveness, which we all need a dose of that, whether it's an in-family feud or something else going on, people, your neighbor. I mean, you hear all kinds of stories. You know, everybody has personal stories like that. And she's forgiven somebody that, you know, I mean, treated her as horribly as you possibly could. And she just decided that the best approach was just, you know what, it happened and I'm gonna live my life and not have that hanging over me in that way. And she's educated so many youth, young people who don't get that, you know, knowledge in school much anymore. There's too many things to be taught. And just the experience, we can't ever let this happen again, but then just saying, you know what, you need to have a forgiving heart. And there's nobody else like her when it comes to that. I mean, she's just such a unique person.
Yeah, and her legacy, of course, will continue. The Candles Museum is eventually moving, right?
Yes,
to a new
downtown,
spot downtown.
Uh-huh. And so we want to keep that dream alive. Everybody's had that vision and wanted to do as much as they could while Eva was still with us. And she's planted all those seeds. She had some great ideas and grand, you know, plans. And we as a community and the board just need to carry that out because this message cannot fade away.
Also in the news, since we've last talked, the casino is now confirmed that it will be on the ballot.
Yes.
This November. Were you pushing for that for fall or spring?
Fall, but only because of timing to get the casino done. But now, especially with what's going on in Illinois, it's probably a good move that we did that. We were afraid if we moved it to the spring, it would lose some energy. It gives the legislature another session to maybe make changes to a bill. I mean, it's kind of like we need to go while they did their part to help Terre Haute. Now Terre Haute's got to help itself by getting this referendum done. So, you know, it seems like a short window because we just got this done, but I think strike while the iron's hot. People are still very positive about this. We just need to get it done. So now we'll go kind of a campaign mode will begin that the community is going to be rolling out here immediately. That it'll be run like a political campaign. We want to educate people, explain to them what the benefits of this are. And if you're opposed to it or you're for it, at least you'll have all the knowledge and information you need to make a good informed decision.
So by what means do you hope, you say a campaign trail, so will there be like public forums?
Yep, or there'll be public meetings, there's a website just for this. It'll be run like a political campaign where you're trying to tell the person, just like I have to do every 4 years, here's what we're gonna do. And with the referendum with the school corporation that I'm sure we're gonna touch on here today, it's like, there's a lot of, the people need to understand what these really mean and what the impacts are. Voting yes or no means this on both of those particular referendums. And it's just a unique cycle here because I've never seen anything like this, having two local ones on the ballot for this November.
Yeah. I still see some of these media or online posts saying, this is just a money grab for the city. They're taking money from the less fortunate. Terre Haute needs the money. This is just a money grab.
We've already fixed our budget. So anybody that would say that, that's just incorrect. We balanced our budget. We're going to take the money from this. And it's not a grab. I mean, the state gets the majority of the money, obviously. So I guess if you're going to make that argument, you should say the state is grabbing money. But I don't see it that way. Gambling is legal. It's legal in a lot of states. It continues to grow. So I don't see it that way at all. And I would challenge anybody they can say whatever they want, but it's just simply untrue. We're going to take the revenues from this that we get, because the county's going to get some money. The school corporation is going to get some money. We're going to get some money. We want to take that and do quality of life projects that everybody in this community can benefit from. So if whether you're a gambler or not, the money that comes back to us, we're going to use it to do things for everybody to take advantage of in our community. So we don't have to plug any holes in the budget. I've already done that. And so we've had 4 straight years of balanced budget. So why anybody would say it's a money grab is just beyond me, because that is 100% untrue.
You mentioned about Danville, Illinois, moving forward on a casino too. No matter what happens with if Terre Haute, does get that, in Danville, and the timing, who knows how that's all going to play out. But down the road, that's still competition. Does that worry you at all? Does that change the game, per se?
No, I don't think it changes the game much. We knew 3 years ago when this discussion first started in the legislature, they've been talking about a casino in Danville as part of their package. It just never went anywhere. And then all of a sudden, the new governor works with the legislature to get it done. I think a lot of it has to do with their financial situation in Illinois, and they're looking for new revenue. Danville's close enough to us that we always felt like it would have an impact on the market that anybody who might serve Terre Haute would be faced against. Our goal is, from a community perspective, we still feel like we're closer to Indianapolis, we're closer to central Illinois. A lot of people who don't go to Danville for business, they come to Terre Haute. We still feel like our market will be the same. Maybe we lose some people up in the north end of our market, but that the casino operator is going to have to put a good product out there that's going to draw people in. It's a competitive nature when it comes to that. We're not going to have any influence in that. We just see the regional effect will be, there's going to be an impact. But how much will probably depend on who has the better place to go and enjoy to gamble or visit, the bars or the restaurants or the entertainment. Whoever's got the best location to draw them is going to be the one that gains the most.
You also mentioned on the referendum that the school corporation is adding something as well. Are they kind of getting on board here thinking that, everyone's going to come out and vote for the casino?
I don't know. When you look at these things, you have a certain group of people that are going to be like, we support the schools. We want them to have more money. We get that. We're going to go and vote for that. Are those the same people that are going to be supportive of a casino to come in and generate some new revenue? Maybe, maybe not. Then you have the municipal election. What do people, how do they feel about the mayor and the city council and then the town, the towns we have, the three communities. My guess is it'll probably make the vote totals go up a little bit. You'll get a little bit more people coming out, but for specific things, they're really gonna be voting. Of course, it's countywide on both of the referendums, but in the city, it's all three. So you're going to be voting for mayor and city council and everything else. So it's unique. I've not seen anything like it. And I don't think anybody can really predict who will motivate their voters to come out more than another. So I think the most important thing to do, the school corporation, educate the public about the pros and cons of this, you know, with all the positives and negatives. Same thing with the casino. And the folks are going to respond to that then based, you know, have an informative vote.
And the school referendum just kind of came out recently, didn't it?
Yeah, it's brand new. They just voted last night. You're going to hear more about that in the coming weeks because they will need to do a campaign just like the casino. You're going to have to go out and tell people, here's why we need this money.
So the convention center now, I read, delayed a month, but I didn't know what that meant.
It's not, you know, we were probably ahead of ourselves just a tiny bit, so I don't really see it as much of a delay. It sounded like that through the media because we want to slow down here a little bit. We got the bids back. The bids are good for 90 days. There's no reason to rush into anything because one of the parking garages came in a little bit higher than we probably thought it should, even though it all came in under budget. And so we want to look at that model of that particular parking garage as an example, whether the hotel's actually going to own it, whether the CIB is going to own it, and we lease it to them. There's just a few little pieces to shake out before they go to the county council to close the bond. And so I think we're making tremendous progress. It's just, there's a lot of pieces to this one, and there were some things in there that we want to spend a little extra time on to make sure we nail it all down so it's best for all the players involved. This is a public-private partnership with the hotel and one of the parking garages, and then we've got the public side with the garage and the convention center. And I think we're in a good place. We just didn't want to rush, you know, awarding bids and things until we nailed everything down and everything's in there that we want in there.
I think I read Garmong Construction Services. Are they the low bidder?
Well, they're our construction manager.
And they're managing.
Yeah, all the bids came in. So they will, all these subs will fall in underneath helping to manage that project. And so they right now they're going through and evaluating to make sure all those bids meet the qualifications, that they really bid everything you're supposed to bid, and all the rules are met regarding that. So that's happening while we're working on the financing. Those two things will kind of get completed at the same time, and then they can move forward going to the county council to get the bonding.
And then who is the Nations Group? What role did they play?
They are a consultant for us from the very beginning. They were involved when ISU, they were on board at the very beginning. We brought them back on with us because that's what they do. They build convention centers and athletic facilities. That's their niche of the market. And so they are helping to kind of manage the whole thing. So they're, Garmong's the construction manager of the building itself, but they're kind of overseeing the process. And then at some point, you know, we'll be done with them and we'll move on to the construction phase. But right now they're both engaged.
Okay. Also back on the agenda is the former YMCA building that we talked about last month, but now it's back on the agenda to be turned into housing. What changed to bring that back?
They changed from 10-year abatement to an 8-year abatement. That was one of the concerns some of the members of the council had, and it failed by one vote last time. So, you know, we'll see if they flip a vote. So they changed it, brought it back, and they'll have that discussion this week, and we'll see how that goes.
County jail, that's moving forward. I believe the county council approved
the area
the zone,
planning.
The
area planning did, yes. And so they made a favorable recommendation that then goes to the city council. The dialogue will start this week at the meeting, and then it's unlikely they would vote on it. They'll probably vote on it in August, but we'll see what kind of, you know, reaction there is to that. I've not heard a lot, so. I'm thinking most people last time on the council said they'd be happy but with any location but that one. So that's all we really know, that this is more likely to be more favorable to the majority of the council than the spot, you know, at the old IP property.
So moving forward, paving, road construction.
We've done a lot.
A lot going on.
Yes.
I just drove in here on 41 and that's all, looks like it's done. They just have some striping to
do. Yeah, and some cleanup work. And so we're thankful for that. And really working with them, got them to do paving at night, helped a lot. There was some work that had to be done during the day on some of the curbs and sidewalks. But that was a long project. They got it done pretty much when they said they would by the end of June, you know, other than we've had a lot of rain. So I give them some credit on that. They've stuck to the project. We recently paved 25th Street and Seidenbender and Wallace and a section of Margaret. that were all in horrible shape, some of the worst streets in Terre Haute. And so we got those fixed. We're going to be moving to the north side next now. And so we got some more, and Poplar Street opened. You know, that project was completed. So I feel really good about what we've done so far. We've got more to go. And most of the projects now will be smaller and only 2 or 3 days at a time. 9th Street is opening up this week again. We had some issues there related to moving some water lines for the convention center, and then we ran into a couple of sinkholes, and it turned into a much bigger project for us, but that's completed and opening up, or opened up today. And so, you know, we're trying to stay out of people's way, but we have a lot of things going on.
And a lot of things going on. It's summer. I think the Vigo County Fair is underway.
Yeah, fair's underway.
Lots absolutely. Going on, huh?
Yeah, it's happening time. Terre Haute Rex, I think, have won 5 or 6 in a row here, the last I checked. And so they're on a roll. And, you know, there's some festivals coming up. St. Ben's has their festival coming up this weekend downtown, which is always a big turnout for that. Strawberry Fest we had recently, the Blueberry Fest downtown. So it's that time of the year for festivals, and it's exciting, and just it's a great time to be around here in Terre Haute and enjoying the things that are going on. Putting up with a little bit of road construction, but things are good.
You know, we are in July, so just, you know, 6 months into the year, how's the budget looking this year?
Looking good. So just looked at some numbers the other day because we're already building next year's right. budget. We've been working on that for the last several weeks, and we seem to be right on target where we need to be. And once again, we've had 4 straight years of balanced budgets, and now we're trying to find a way to put a little bit of money back and build our reserves. So that's a great place to be. We still need to spend some money, but we're able to put some back, and I'm feeling really good about this year.
That was all I had. Any other announcements or things that we maybe
No, I don't think so. It's just been busy. You know, I think the budget's taking a lot of our time right now, but you know, we continue to hear a lot of good things. People are interested in Terre Haute. The economy still doing well. So, you know, we're going to be busy the rest of the year too. Just looking forward to the second half of 2019.